Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me, of course, is Pat and John the Extra. Welcome to the Extra Hour. I'm going to be talking about the bully pulpit. I'm going to be talking about the Washington's bully pulpit. This is so important. And I'm hoping that I'm going to encourage you, you know, to not let them push you into rage, not let them push you into rebellion and lawlessness, but to understand, you know, what is our response as Christians? You know, what response should we have to what's going on right now? When you think about a bully, when you think about a bully in school, or I think they ran for political office. But anyway, think about a bully in school that they pick, their goal is to be able to pick on someone and try to keep poking at them and getting them angry so that they'll take a swing at them. And understand that if they wanted just to dominate the person, they could have just done that to begin with. But some reason they're picking at the person because they want to get the person, to the child or the kid, to make the first move so they can say, you know, he started swinging at me. So, you know, and what happens is it has nothing to do with the kid that they're picking, the bully's picking on. It has to do with all this rage and this anger and these twisted emotions inside that kid. And he or she's looking for an outlet, and they just want to let loose on something. And understand, if you don't understand that, you're going to think it's about you, and you're going to take a swing. And you're going to find out, where did this nuclear bomb come from? What happened? I don't even know this person, and they're so angry. How could I have made this person so angry? You didn't make that person that angry. It's a bullying spirit. There's something that's twisted and bent in their life for whatever reason. They're wrong. And they're looking for an outlet to be able to take it out on you or someone or that particular kid right there. But the Wikipedia talks about a bully pulpit is a position sufficiently conspicuous to provide an opportunity to speak out or to listen to. You get a platform, as people used to say, you know, there he is on his soapbox, you know, and he's kind of ranting or raving or whatever. But the term was coined, though, by President Theodore Roosevelt. It was coined by Theodore Roosevelt, referred to the White House as a bully pulpit, as a bully pulpit, B-U-L-L-Y, bully pulpit, by which you can, it's meant to traffic your platform from which you advocate your agenda. And, you know, you have to understand at this particular point in time, also it means, they talk about it, it means in the sense is only distinctly related to harassing the weak, harassing the weak, because a strong position in a situation like that, somebody just knocked the lights out of you and just say, okay, it's right. Over. It's totally over. But realize at this point, this famous bully pulpit, made famous in the name of it by President Theodore Roosevelt, has been used to agendas such as tax schemes, you know, a new idea to bring a tax about. It's been used for defending the nation from foreign enemies, foreign and domestic, which means those enemies in the nation, to expand national parks, to build monuments, to fight wars, to defeat diseases. But there's never been a bully pulpit in Washington, D.C. like there is today. The bully pulpit's being used the agenda is to force America to give up its Christian God. To give up our Christian God and its supreme law of the land, the U.S. Constitution, which we all, including the President of the United States and all those folks in D.C., swore that they would uphold and protect it from enemies, foreign and domestic. But just like a bully, our leaders in Washington, D.C. have poked American citizens, and especially the church, America's founding fathers, and the American Constitution in the chest. So many times, it can only be explained as what President Theodore Roosevelt did, as being used to bully the American people, using Washington as a bully pulpit to push an agenda. But this is not national parks.
Wow.
This is not raise taxes or, you know, conservative government or liberal government and those type of things that happen in the context of a nation. This is changing the fundamentally transforming a Christian nation into a non-Christian nation and taking down our supreme law of the land and transforming it so we're no longer the same nation that we were anymore. I mean, you think of a bully just pokes at you and pokes at you. And what this is what's going on. This is why I want to encourage you. Don't react the way that a kid would in school that just loses it. You're looking at right now, you're looking at some shootings that took place in school. You're looking at some of these kids coming back and said, well, they bullied me. The shooting that was in California, he said they bullied me. So he came back to the school with a shotgun and he was going to kill the kid, I guess, or mm-hmm. whatever. I don't know what's in his mind, but he said the kid was bullying him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't you have to understand that's what a bully wants you to do. That bullying spirit, and you have to understand we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. Even that individual being used to bully you don't understand what's really going on. But second heaven, Satan is trying to get you to react in a way that brings destruction, division, discord, and all that kind of stuff. The bully pulpit in Washington, D.C., I mean, think about it. I'm just going to talk about a couple huge pokes in our chest. You know, allegedly, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, they removed radical Islam from the FBI, CIA, and all the libraries and identifying them as an enemy of our nation. It's like, what's going on? In addition to that, the Secretary of State's assistant,
Uma Abedin,
her parents were leaders in the Muslim Brotherhood, her mother and father. Mm-hmm. That's the assistant, and allegedly according to Michelle Bachmann, she didn't even get a background check, and they didn't even vet her before they put her in the position. Then she was with the most traveled Secretary of State in the history since George Washington, in the history of America, going from nation to nation with the Muslim Brotherhood's daughter, a daughter of the Muslim Brotherhood, right there as our assistant to our Secretary of State.
Right.
Who, by the way, let me just give you a little insight here, will be the Democratic candidate for the President of the United States, and then you'll start hearing that name mm-hmm. pop up really, really soon, and they're already beginning to build that momentum now. This has been worked on for quite some time. Think about it. That's a poke in the chest. It's like, are you serious? That's where people are you serious? You got the Muslim Brotherhood's daughter, you know, in as assistant to the Secretary of State, and you hear Christians, you hear people mm-hmm. going, you know, kind of like reacting to that.
Right.
Think about this. They opened our borders to whoever. You know, even threatening our governor in Arizona for they sued the governor, the president, the Washington, D.C., the mm-hmm. bully pulpit in Washington, D.C., the bully in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. sued the governor for enforcing the federal laws on immigration and people coming over the border. It was the federal law.
Wow.
It wasn't the law of Arizona. It was the federal law. And then would not even support the law that's a federal law. Uh-huh. It's a poke in the chest. I mean, did you really just go down there in front of America and take your fist and hit it in the face of this amazing, the women that are standing up right now, like Michelle Bachmann and the governor of Arizona? I mean, they're just like, you know, like, wow, you know, we need some men like that. Anyway, so then they booed God at the Democratic National Convention and reluctantly placed his name back in the platform.
Wow.
Of the Democratic Party. I mean, that's a poke. That's a huge poke in the chest of Americans. It's a bully. They open wide the doors to not only abortion, but promote it as going as a good thing. And even our president openly said from his bully pulpit, he wouldn't want his own daughters to have an unwanted baby, an unwanted pregnancy as his public agenda.
Wow.
And then taking it further, they promote to make sure that it gets stopped before you can see what's going on. They promote the morning after or Plan B pills to kill the child before anybody sees it.
Mm.
It's poking us in the chest. I understand. I understand what you're feeling. I understand your emotions. And you know, thank God you're reacting, you know, that you're having some sort of reaction. You know, they poked Israel. They poked God's eye. They poked Israel in the chest. America's friend and the apple of God's eye by telling them you better not defend yourself, promoted the Arab Spring all the way around them with the Islamic promoted caliphate just kind of urging up from within. Even our president's first international speech, think about this. Not only did they poke our best friend in the chest, Israel, but they went, our president's first speech was in Cairo University, and he went there and he brought in the banned Muslim Brotherhood and painted a platform that America and he feels it's his duty as the president of the United States to defend any stereotypes of Islam anywhere it may be found in the world, to fight against it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what he said. It's Cairo Spitz. You can whitehouse.gov. Go check it out. And he built a platform for the banned Muslim Brotherhood that took over Egypt. And now the Muslim Brotherhood, I mean, he poked America hugely in the chest. He poked Israel, and Muslim Brotherhood hates Israel, hates America. They feel they need to convert us because we need to have the Quran as the supreme law, which would be a caliphate. And he promoted them. And that's a huge poke. They passed an entire healthcare law and major taxes to support it without even reading it. I mean, right? The Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, as the Speaker of the House, she used to be the most powerful position in America. Now it's switched and it's totally different. This is what she said. She said, we have to pass the bill before we read it or know what's in it. Mm. That's, by the way, that's their job.
Right.
You know, our president's not supposed to defend Islam. He's supposed to defend America. That Nancy Pelosi is supposed to read the bill before they pass the bill because we don't want to. And it's like, that's a huge, yeah, you're right. You did just get poked. That's a huge, these are pokes. You understand, you can be getting riled up, but I'm encouraging you not to respond like the kid would, because it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with an agenda. It has to do with something they want you to swing, to react in the wrong way, to react in your flesh, and understand God's in control. Think about this. They even took the Catholic Church on, telling them that they had to provide abortions for their employees if their employees wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
They took them on. I mean, wow. Literally bowed up. And then, of course, then they poked the Catholic Church in the chest, and then the Catholic Church bowed back up, and they kind of, you know, did some stuff. And then they took on Christian business owners such as the Green family that owns Hobby Lobby, and they're charging them, I believe, $500,000 a day, right? $500,000 a day in fines for not buying a program that pays for their employees having abortions.
Right. Mm.
All they have to do is say, hey, take the kill a child out, and we got it. But they won't do it. Why? Because it's agenda. It's an agenda. It's agenda to destroy the image and the likeness of God. Yes, they're poking you in the chest. Our attorney general, the head law enforcement officer in America in Washington, D.C., says that Americans have to be brainwashed, about guns. That's what he says very specifically. We have that on the torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and click on torch and just hear, watch his lips moving when he say it. And allegedly, you know, he was supporting the selling of guns to drug lords in New Mexico that ended up killing one of our law enforcement officers with one of those guns. And then told Congress, which is your representative, when he was called to come before them to tell them what happened down there with these guns, he didn't tell them. I ain't going to tell you. He didn't tell them. And then our president covered him with the executive privilege. Of course, you're being poked in the chest. This is probably what the bully's saying. I cannot believe they haven't lost it yet.
Right.
I'm telling
you. Right.
But there's more. There's more. You know, Washington, D.C., understand this. This bully pulpit, this Washington, D.C.'s bully pulpit, and it's all of them. It's all of them if they're not standing up for what's right. And the few that are standing up for right, you know their name. Is sending drones, unmanned planes with weapons over nations, over sovereign territories, and killing leaders and killing citizens of that nation, and even killing an American citizen in Yemen. The American citizen that was protected by the Constitution that they talk about, that killed, knocked this dude off, and he was supporting the same thing they support.
Wow.
You know? Mm-hmm. And killed him. That you don't. It's like, how long will we live? You, I mean, just read your Bible. How long will this thing live? That's a huge poke when you can fly your little airplane over my neighborhood and shoot my mother or my brother or my neighbor because you decide in your own personal mind that you can kill somebody in outside of our own laws of our land. Not only is this bullying spirit not even acknowledging the supreme law of America, which is the Constitution, but they're not even acknowledging the law of all the nations. They're flying these planes over to kill Pakistanis or Iraqis or Afghans or whoever. I mean, it's just amazing. They just go Yemen. They're just flying. He's like, there was a day that everybody would stop and look at the model airplane. And I was like, run and take cover.
Right.
It's the bully. It's the bully. They're bullying. They're bullying you. They're bullying us. And the president declares before all of America that America is no longer a Christian nation. He says this publicly. First of all, let me tell you this. That means he acknowledges that we were, at one time in his mind, a Christian nation. And his job, as we're seeing him fulfill his job application and his resume, is to transform that from a Christian nation to an Islamic nation. Mm-hmm. By the way, they can't coexist. If somebody says, I got to kill you, convert you, or make you a slave, another one says, I'll love you, I'll go with you another extra mile, you'll punch me in one cheek, I'll turn the other. You know, we'll pray for those in authority over us that we can coexist with anybody because Christ is in me, not in some building. We're not. It's just amazing, just totally amazing. Right. Those can't coexist, and one's not going to make it. And so he says we're no longer a Christian nation. America isn't. Then he says we're an Islamic nation. In addition to that, and he says, and he tells Islam, who seeks a caliphate, which is their Quran being the ultimate law of the land, saying that come on in. As a matter of fact, I'll just give you a nice dinner at the White House, which is not his house. It's our house.
It's the people's house.
It's the people's house. And so the people's house brought in Muslims to have a friendly dinner with Islam, which he says, this is who we are now. And then he tells us, he says very specifically, and I want you to hear it yourself. He says very specifically that he's going to do everything he can to promote zakat. And zakat is something that most Americans don't have a clue about. Most Americans, we don't have a clue about anything. We're having to learn, man, quickly. And I encourage you, if you haven't learned yet, start learning because you're going to need to learn. But I want you to hear this first. I want you to hear the President of the United States talk about, and zakat, let me tell you what it is. Zakat is, that's Z-A-K-A-T, is an Islamic tax. It's not an offering, it's a tax. Like you have tax for government. It's a government. It's an Islamic caliphate type government, mm-hmm. and it's a tax. And so he's talking about this tax that has to be paid in Islam, and he's wanting to be able to fix America where that tax can be paid in America. Listen up.
In the United States, rules on charitable giving have made it harder for Muslims to fulfill their religious obligation. That's why I'm committed to working with American Muslims to ensure that they can fulfill zakat.
It's so important when you understand that what he's saying is he wants to adjust the laws of the land mm-hmm. to support zakat. And in the Quran, which is chapter 2, verse 177, says, this is what he says in the Quran. Righteousness is not turning your face towards the east. Righteousness is not turning your face towards the east or the west. Righteousness are those who believe in God, the last day, the angels, the scriptures, the prophets, and they give money. They give the money cheerfully to the relatives, to the orphans, to the needy, traveling aliens, beggars, to free slaves, and they observe the contact prayer and give obligatory charity, and they keep their word whenever they make promises, and they steadfast persevere in the face of persecution, hardship, and war.
Wow.
Reportedly, what's taking place, according to that, is 1/8 of that zakat goes to war. I mean, we're being, like, how many times are you going to poke us in the chest? You're telling me we're no longer a Christian nation, but now you're going to promote war against Christians and Jews? Wow. You're going to make it available at a nonprofit. The reason why you can't get a nonprofit status, a corporation, nonprofit 501c3 corporation, which is a tax-exempt religious organization in America, is because 1/8 of that goes towards war, according to the Quran.
Wow.
And he's saying at the same time that he's poking us in the chest about taking our guns, he's saying, listen, I want to make sure that 1/8 of the war that you're going to pay for is going to be tax-deductible. Understand that. Understand that. That, you know, we are getting poked to the chest, but there is a response to this. Listen, our president publicly says that America it runs to guns and religion in hard times. Of course, America runs to the First and the Second Amendment. That's what you're saying. The First and the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution and the supreme law of the land when it's our personal freedoms or America's rights are being threatened. That's what you're supposed to do. If somebody tries to take your cookies, you know, you stand up and say, hey, get away from my cookies. If somebody tries to take your rights, you stand up. Stop taking my rights. If somebody tries to take your constitution, you stand up and you say no. If somebody tries to take your First Amendment rights to be able to worship freely and to gather, you go no. Of course you run to it. Of course you run to it. We have to wake up, but understand this is a bullying spirit. This current leaders from this bully pulpit in Washington, D.C. is fundamentally transforming America from its once Christian roots the U.S. Constitution being the supreme law of land, the right to life, to bear arms, to worship freely, and defend it from enemies foreign and domestic, right in our very faces, and they are using our lust, our greed, our idolatry, our pride, our sin to take it from us. Don't fall prey to Washington's bully pulpit that is poking your very existence in the chest so many times that your flesh wants to react and start falling possibly to rage, which is raw anger going everywhere, rebellion to God's expectations of us and lawlessness. Repent. Don't hit the streets. Hit your knees. Listen, you're not going to win. He just wants you to swing. Washington wants you to swing. Washington wants you to go, you know, and react in your flesh. And it's our flesh that got us into this place. It's our flesh that got him and them there. This is not a Washington problem. This is not a Republican or a Democratic problem. This is a Christian problem. This is a church problem. It's us.
Wow.
He says, if my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, that's our sin, then God will hear from heaven and heal our land. Understand that this thing is turning in rapidly. We're seeing our whole nation being turned over right in our very faces, and you're watching blind minds not even acknowledge what's taking place because we're getting our stuff. It's like, hey, I get to do this sin and nobody's going to tell me it's wrong. And hey, they'll actually bless this and bless that and bless this. I suppose the state can bless it, not realizing it doesn't matter if it says it's legal or not. It matters what God says for us as Christians. You don't get a blanket permission to go rob banks because all of a sudden because the government says it's okay to rob banks now. If God says it's a sin to rob banks, it's still a sin to rob banks, even though your government made it legal again. Legal, and understand this, then you'll stand before the throne of God, and you can't say, hey, God, hey, they passed a law that says I can sin. You have to understand, no, you're going to pull that up, and God's going to pull his word up, and he's going to judge you by it, and you're going to end up eternally separated from him in hell. Understand, this is a huge, and we think about this. You know, go back to the word of God and see how God's people have handled these type of situations. It is not new. It has really happened again and again and again and again, and understand that Jesus tells us, and the Beatitudes, how we're supposed to respond. Listen, we're supposed to embrace this weakness, you know, as Pat was talking about in the early parts. Embrace our dependency on God and our desperate need for him and our willingness to be taken advantage of, our willingness to be treated disrespectfully, you know, you think about this. Look at those that have gone before, such as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., as he was facing the wrath of an evil national stronghold that had been in America since its founding.
Wow.
Since its founding now. He stood bold in his constitutional rights, humbly before God's eye, and did not give in to this horrific bullying. And it was horrific bullying and hatred, abuse, and turned violent or rebellious and raging. You notice that when you look at those that did, they were just like vapors in the wind. They just kind of stood up and they said, we're going to fight the man, you know, and you talk about the Black Panther Party, you talk about, you know, Malcolm X, all these different ones. They just kind of like, boom, just up and gone.
No more.
But today we have streets in America named after a Christian minister named Dr. Martin Luther King, because he understood what God tells us, how we're supposed to stand up for what's right. Mm-hmm. And there's a way to do it. We can look at his life and we can imitate those that have gone before us and see. I mean, Jesus did it as well. But I mean, right in our present day in America, standing up for constitutional rights. I mean, this is what he said. He says, I'm just holding you to what's on the paper. Mm. It's time for the Christians to stand up and say, listen, we're just holding you to the First Amendment. We're just holding you to the Second Amendment. Did they suffer? Yeah. Did they go to jail? Yeah. But you know what? They appeared in courts when they had a judge that wasn't crooked. They got back out and they got freed and the law changed. He went all the way to Washington, D.C. He looked President Kennedy in the face and he said, this has to be done. I mean, he was bold everywhere he went. He went and people followed him, but he would look at people who wanted to go to their flesh, who wanted to rage, who wanted to be violent. And he would say, no, that is not the answer. But understand what I'm telling you. It's the bully wants. Satan wants you to throw a swing. He wants you to throw the first punch. And listen, he has a rage inside of his heart. He was thrown out of heaven. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be exalted. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted more glory than God. And he has a rage inside of it. And if you swing at Satan in your flesh instead of falling to your knees in God, you are not going to like the outcome. You are not going to like the outcome. And I'm hearing people talking. I'm thinking, you're swinging at this thing in the flesh, and it is not going to be good. Understand that that when you look at the concentration camps, when you look at Auschwitz and you look at the trains and the ghettos and the things that has been done to God's people, to the Jews, understand that's a rage. It's a bully rage that Satan has against God's people and mankind. You know why he wants to kill the babies? Because the babies are made in God. You can nip it in the bud if you nip it in the womb. That's what they say. I bet you in the hell. They say, if you could kill that kid in the womb, if you nip it in the womb, you can nip it in the bud, because he wants to destroy every form of image of God, because that person, you know, would live a life like we're living today for God and God's glory and giving him praise. But understand this, that he has a rage. And if you take a swing at him, I'm telling you right now, if you don't listen to those that have gone before us, Jesus, if you don't listen to, we saw walked out in America, Dr. King in America, under this Constitution, under God, walked it out in a way that we can imitate him, that he did not take a swing, even when they were taking a swing at him. Even when they put dogs out, even when they took fire hoses out. I mean, he just stood. He stood for what was right. He stood within the Constitution. He wasn't lawless. He wasn't rebellious. He read the documents. He read the Bible, and he says, listen, this is right. And let me tell you, this is the ultimate thing. And he was willing to lay down his life for the next generation. We are the most narcissistic, self-focused, greedy people, where we actually kill our children in the womb so that we can have a better life and not go through the suffering and have to speak into somebody else's life. We'll leave relationships. We'll leave everything instead of saying, you know what? I'm gonna stay and stand even when it stinks, because this is the right thing to do. This is not just about me. Dr. King was willing to lay down his life. He knew the words of Jesus when he said, greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for a friend. He said, you know, I've been to the mountaintop, but I might not get there with you. He understood that he might not see this thing that he was believing for and standing for, but he was okay with that. But you know what? So many people aren't okay with that. They say, listen, I'll stand for it if I get it. You know, I'll stand for it. I'll fight for it if I get the benefits of this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not for the next generation because I've already killed them in the womb. Mm-hmm. But we say, you know what? God, forgive us. Fall to our knees. Not fall to anger. Fall to our knees. And somebody says, well, you know, what attitude should we have? Listen, we have to break this narcissism, this plague of narcissism in this generation who kill our children in the womb because it would just cause struggle, and not to have a life that, hey, I deserve this life, you know? We have to repent for the attitude, what's in it for me? We as Christians need to realize that it was settled for us. The question, what's in it for us, was settled for us over 2,000 years ago on the cross of Christ. It was settled. It was settled for us. We're not looking to be settled in this age. We're not living for this life alone. We're living for the life to come. Understand, it was settled for us over 2,000 years ago. It's not for this life we live, but for the eternal life that we have in Jesus Christ, which means this, that you know what? We win by loving our enemies. We win by laying down our lives. We win by being taken advantage of and entrusting God who judges justly. We win by suffering for doing right and being called that we're wrong. The Apostle Peter told us this. We win when we refuse to fall to rage, rebellion, and lawlessness and fall to our knees saying, God, you won. God, you've won my heart. Forgive my sin. I will leave this life of sin. I will own my sin. I will stop blaming past generations and others and acknowledge this is mine. I own it. Lord, it's wrong. God, forgive me. I will become your disciple. I will read, study, and meditate on your commands, that I wouldn't hide your words in my heart, that I wouldn't sin against you. God, you won my heart. We're being bullied. You are being bullied. But understand, it is not about you. It's about an agenda that the bully has. He's twisted inside. And we're watching that spirit just manifest in people. Nowadays, we're walking in with guns in places, and you're thinking, how could you have so much rage? Mm-hmm. It wasn't about those kids. It wasn't about those people that were shot. It's about something wrong inside of that person. And it's just, listen, you got to hear. We got to respond rightly, because if we take a swing, and none of us are righteous enough to take a swing. The only arm that can swing is the strong arm of the Lord.
That's right.
Mm. And so we have to fall to the ground, but his strong arm will deliver us if, in fact, we fall to our knees instead of fall into the trap like the bully wants us to. Is to react in the flesh and take a swing, whether the swing is, you know, whatever it is. The only thing we have, who are we to swing? I mean, come on. Who are we? Yeah. We've sinned. We've fallen short. The reason why we're in this boat that we're in is because we've done wrong before the Lord. But listen, we serve a God who is looking for a reason to show forth his mercy and show how loving he is. And he just wants us to repent, to acknowledge it, own it, repent and leave it. And for he'll forgive us. Mm-hmm. Let's just go that route. You know, you know what I'm saying? Let's just go that route. And don't listen to the enemy who tells you that God doesn't love you and God doesn't have a plan for your life, that he won't forgive you and that he's not merciful and he's not loving. Listen, if he wasn't merciful and loving and forgiving, this thing would have been over a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But because he is merciful, loving, and forgiving, that's why he gave his son. Yeah. He gave his son. So he solved this issue that we're having today over 2,000 years ago on the cross. We just have to make Jesus the Lord of our life, not some Christian experience. I don't care how big your building is or how much building you don't have. What's in your heart? Are you the building of God? Does Christ dwell inside of you? Now is the day. Now is the time. Listen, if you want to transform America, start by transforming your heart and your soul in Jesus, right?
That's right. That's
totally
right.
Awesome.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Relationships can unravel amid conflict and bitterness and hurtful words. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Here's psychologist Dr. David Clark offering his perspectives on why we so often fall short in our relationships.
We see 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. No one can do that without God's help. It's impossible. Ephesians 5, try Ephesians 5, where you love your wife as Christ loved the church and as you love your own body. Humanly speaking, can't do it. I tried for some years to do it on my own. I simply couldn't get it done. That was part of our journey of saying, like, finding the spiritual bond. All of a sudden, I'm not loving Sandy. God's loving Sandy through me. Hey, that works like a charm. I can do that.
Your marriage isn't all about you trying to love your spouse. It's really a matter of God loving your spouse through you. And you'll find additional insights and trusted resources to help you do that at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right. The VFM radio program. You're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it. Man, it's just technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I meant that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store for Android phones. So they can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFN TV app, right? Mm-hmm. And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives, for example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it or you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right,
you know, and the perspective of things going on. And that you can do that. You can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available
for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. This is such a relevant topic for us. And we just, oh my goodness.
Think about more so, you know, in closer to our time, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a minister in Georgia, you know, that he was a pioneer. He believed that it was time to apply the Constitution to every man in America. He didn't favor one over another. He just said, listen, there needs to be justice for everybody, including the African American who was not being treated fairly and their constitutional rights were being denied. And he just began to be a pioneer. I mean, I think about the commitment card when he had people that would join him and his standing up for civil rights and doing what's right. I love it. We got to make this part of the torch. But we have to have the mindset because where we're going. We're gonna have to be pioneers in this generation. We don't quit. You know, when somebody says, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. But listen to this pledge. This is the pledge that he had everybody sign. This is the commitment card. If you were going to walk with Dr. Martin Luther King, a minister, a Christian, you had to sign this. You put your name, your address on it, your next relative, and all this kind of stuff on it. But the first thing he says, I hereby pledge myself, and these are the ones for those generations that don't know, many don't know in this generation, that you hear in your history books, but it's real, that the African American was not only enslaved, but once the Emancipation Proclamation was signed and the executive order from President Lincoln, that there still was racism rampant all over this country, injustices, you know, things like separate but equal, and they weren't. You know, it was just evil, pride, racism, and all this. And so there wasn't fair justice for all. Everybody didn't get the fair justice. And so he said, listen, there needs to be civil rights for all, for everyone. And he's a minister. He did it in the love of God. And this is the mindset we're going to have. We're going to have to be a pioneer. But, you know, we can grab a hold of what, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King had in his heart and just listening to his niece talk. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. You know, and she's a minister today. But you had to sign this pledge. This is the pledge you have to sign. If you're going to march with me, if you're going to walk down the same street with me, if you're going to say you're part of what we're doing, this is what you had to sign. I hereby pledge myself, my person and body, to the nonviolent movement. Mm. Think about it. Very first thing. Therefore, I will keep the following 10 commandments. Number one, meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus.
Wow.
You know, you had to abide to be with Dr. King.
Wow.
Is that not awesome?
Yeah.
It's like, you're not marching with me. I don't have it. Go through those commitment cards. Go through that Rolodex. So, you know, back then you had Rolodex. So. Go on a fight. No, Malcolm, you're not part of this because you're violent, right?
All right.
No, Black Panthers, you're not part of this because you're violent. But what I'm doing, you got to sign a commitment card here. Mm. And the first thing says, you got to be abiding with Jesus. Mm. Is that beautiful?
Yeah.
So that's everybody great. That was legitimately a part of that movement of civil rights movement that what Dr. King was leading, he's a pioneer now. He said, you know, you put this card together and people have to commitment card. So the first thing was meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus. The second one is to remember always that the nonviolent movement he's going to reiterate that because the fact is that, you know, as Christians, and he was a Christian, you know, when you read the Quran talks about making preparations for war. That's totally opposite of us. We don't make preparations to war in the name of Jesus. Although the Crusaders got way off in the Dark Ages, that was wrong. Mm-hmm. And we're just supposed to walk like Dr. King set an example to be able to walk. But obviously like Jesus. He says, remember always, this is the second one. This is the commitment card for walking with Dr. King and what he was doing. Remember always that the nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory.
Oh, wow.
How many times I saw these guys, you know, who put, they label everything, but they label, you know, this is the conservative movement. You know, I wish, you know, but and all of a sudden something succeeds. And the arrogance and the pride and the victory marches. And it's like, you know, is that what we really want as Christians? Now, I'm not talking about people that aren't Christians, but as Christians, Dr. King said, listen, that's just beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if anybody, the injustices that was happening to the African-American, that happened to, in his sight, I mean, it's a horrific thing that happened to him, but just happened for, since the beginning of America. And he said, we're not trying to aim for victory. Listen, in the, as Christians, victory's already been received for us on the cross of Christ. Mm-hmm. So when there is, you know, we've already won already. Now we're supposed to walk rightly before the Lord. So he says, remember, this is number two, remember always that the nonviolent, and listen, you got to get this, because don't let the bully pulpit of Washington get you to do wrong things. I don't know what the particular title of that segment is, but you got to, don't swing. Don't let them push you to do evil, because this is Dr. King's got it. This is, he has it right here. Remember always that this nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory. And justice is beautiful. I mean, God says in his word, he says, no one cries for justice. Oh. And that's where we are today. And the reason why I believe that men do not cry for justice, because they feel like they're going to be having given a life sentence because they're sinful. You're sinful. We don't understand that justice was served out on the cross of Christ. So when we begin to cry for justice, it runs us to the cross of Christ, because in Romans chapter 5, God said, to prove that I'm a just God and the one who justifies at just the right time, I offered up my son as a sacrifice. So justice, when you begin to cry for justice, you start looking, you know, it may start off where you're pointing your finger at somebody else, and then you'll have this Holy Spirit flash of your need for a savior and your sin, and you just start running. Oh my goodness, this cross I'm preaching, I better run to it quickly.
Which way to the cross?
Yeah, Have you seen the cross? Not in that church. Not in that church. Anyway, so, and I think that's beautiful. So when we understand that, once we can cry for justice, which is putting things back in their godly, rightly order. Number three on the commitment card for being able to walk with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and this card was written, by the way, in 1963. It's pretty interesting to me. That happened to be the year that I was born.
That's right.
Oh, now you know I'm not 29. Anyway, so, and then he says, number three is walk and talk in the manner of love, for God is love. Mm. I'm like, yeah, this dude was so awesome that you want to hang out with his niece. Yeah. You know? And then, isn't that amazing? You know,
yeah.
He's like, you were hanging around with him. I mean, people have used him and promoted themselves off of him, but the people that walked in the same spirit as this, you know, with him, are it's just beautiful. And this is it. And this conservative movement, we need to go back, and we need to have Ronald Reagan. No, you don't need Ronald Reagan. You need to have Dr. King. We need to go back and look at Dr. King, not Dr. Ronald Reagan, and go look at Dr. King and say, that's who we need to, the church now. We need to model ourselves after him, mm-hmm. and what he stood for and what he walked for, because it was beautiful. And it was horrific, but his heart was beautiful. Number four in the commitment card that you have to sign if you're going to walk with Dr. King is pray daily to be used by God in order that all men might be free. I mean, think about that. Do you know Dr. King today, based on that commitment, he probably would be disturbed over the fact that we're turning over all these nations to radical Islam and putting people under servitude, because that's the opposite of what he wanted. That's not what he wanted. He was wanting freedom for all men. For all men. Isn't that beautiful? And it's like, you know, we're not okay with just putting people in captivity. That's not what we want, them to be free. And then number five is, because Jesus came to set us free, right?
Right.
Then we have number five on the commitment card to walk with Dr. King, is sacrifice personal wishes in order that all men might be free. Well, number four was daily pray to be used by God in order that all men might be free. Now, number five is now you're praying about all men being free. I want you to sacrifice personal wishes in order that all men might be free. What does that mean? Well, just lay down your life.
Right.
Lay down. If your generation has to lay down for the next generation, and when you hear people say things, and I admit, you got to be a fool not to understand what's going on in America, because there's a lot of complicated issues going on right here because of the mistreatment of the African American in America, that you can't just throw a blanket statement over this. Somebody would say, one particular, I'm not going to say who it was, just made this statement. They said, it's not about Obama, it's about your mama. And what he's saying was, my mama's been mistreated. My mama had to do this. My mother had to do that. She marched with Dr. King. She got all these freedoms. She stood up for what's right. She went to jail. She did all these different things. And I understand that. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. And we're a fool not to get that. But then we have to bring that in the paradigm of, okay, but let's look at everything. That, are we meditating on the teachings of Jesus? Is this the right direction that we're going? You know what I'm saying? So it's very complicated, and it's complicated in the context that we're getting turned in on ourselves. What's happening is just all kind of turning in on ourselves. And our hope is right here, what we're reading from Dr. King's pledge card and the Word of God. But then he says in number six, he says, observe, I really believe that our president right now, President Barack Obama, you know, based on a study of his life done by a professor in a New York university, I don't know if it's Christ's King, I don't know what
King's.
Say it again?
King's College in
New York. I think he did a documentary on his life, Obama 2016, I believe it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel early empathetic. You can understand, oh. But then you start thinking, wait a minute, this is not your experience. He does not have the African-American experience in America. It's not his experience. That's the African American's experience.
Mm-hmm.
But we're a part of that. You know what I'm saying? And this is what I believe. I believe this. I feel it in my heart. I believe that the prophetic word spoken by Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, where he said, because of the oppression of the African American, that a revival, and I'm believing a third great awakening, would come to America, being led by the African American people in America. But see, what happens first is the counterfeit shows up first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe he has the same story. You know, Kichara and I were talking about that at the gathering, and she was reminding me of my own words, and she's right, that you know, born wherever, lived, you know, Indonesia and Kenya and you know all these areas, and that's not the American experience. That's mm-hmm. not the person who's coming from generations, as did most of the African Americans that are American. So I believe, you know, I want you to hold on. Don't slam your doors on what the enemy's trying to twist. Be ready for what God's going to do to the African Americans in America. It's going to be exciting, I believe. But in the context of that, I mean, look what he did through Dr. King as we're talking now. Then number six in the commitment card that you have to sign to be able to walk with Dr. King was observe with both friend and foe, the ordinary rules of courtesy.
Hmm.
So you had to be nice not only to your friends.
Mm, to your enemy.
But you had to be nice to that, oh my goodness. I mean, if you watch the videos and the pictures and this guy standing with a billy club over your daughter.
Yeah.
Who signed this card. So she's going like, oh, what was the card? Da-da-da-da-da-da. She's thumbing through her mind. What was this commitment again?
Hmm.
You know, and then she's
a dog on a leash.
Oh, yeah, then the dogs and the fire hoses. Fire hose.
Yeah.
And you're struggling with, am I willing to lay down my life? Am I willing? This is how we, the church, are going to have to do, because Dr. King, part of the church, you know, minister in the gospel, a Christian, he understood, and look what he did. He turned an entire nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it cost him his life. And we have to be willing to do that. I mean, there's a reason why streets and holidays and everything's named after Dr. King, because he made he was a pioneer that says, listen, it is just time. And so then not only observe, number six, observe with both friends and foe the ordinary rules of courtesy. We were just talking about the 10 commitments, the 10 commandments on the commitment card to be able to walk with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And they're just powerful, powerful. Aren't they powerful commitments?
Yeah, powerful.
This is the heart we have to have. If we're going to transform, you know, ourselves, if we're going to transform a nation back to where its original intent, just holding them to what's on the paper, as Dr. King said, you know, we need to take the same mindset as a man, those that have walked before. He says, imitate those that have gone before. He's a pioneer, mm-hmm. a pioneer. We need pioneers for this generation. You know, what does it demand from us? And I look at the seventh of the Ten Commandments, the commitment card that you had to be able to sign. It says, seek to perform regular service for others and for the world. Mm. Is that why? It's like, oh, wow. My goodness, how beautiful are these Ten Commandments to be able to be a part of the Civil Rights Movement with Dr. King? Mm. It's just beautiful, beautiful. The eighth one is, refrain from the violent fist, tongue, or heart.
Mm. Wow.
That's just beautiful, isn't it?
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, we were just talking about that, you know, the bully pulpit, be careful. And mm-hmm. he totally, this is an apostle. This is a pioneer. Wow. Dr. King was a pioneer, an apostle, and that all the evil strongholds that had racism and all that stuff hated what this man was standing for, which he's standing for God and what was right and freeing a people from oppression and wow. and racism and injustice. And so then the ninth commandment of the commitment card walking with Dr. King was strive to be in good spirit and bodily health. Think about it. Strive, in other words, make an effort to, when we're walking down the street together, I mean, you got to do some physical exertions here. Where if we're gonna do what we have to do to stand for what's right for the Constitution and do what's right before and treat all men well and all these commandments he's talking about, then we got to be in physical health. We're gonna do some walking. We're gonna be pressed together in different situations, and you just don't know. I mean, you know, we can be so out of shape that we just step off a curb and throw our back out. That's a little ridiculous. You know, right. we got to get in the physical and spiritual health for what's about to take place. And I encourage you to begin to think about, you know, make sure your body's able to handle where we're going. Make sure your spirit is strong enough to do what you got to do what God's called us to do in our generation. And then finally, this pioneer, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the 10th commandment of the commitment card you had to sign to be able to walk alongside him. And this totally throws out all these twisted mindsets that the people are trying to change what his heart was. He says to follow the directions of the movement and of the captain of a demonstration. In other words, you had to be a person under authority. Mm. You had to, can't just go do your own. I mean, who's leading this particular event, this movement? And then you follow them. Isn't that great?
Wow.
That's good.
And then you would put your name, your address, your phone, your nearest relative, and their address. Think about that. And what is the doctor, when you go into the doctor's office or you go into a hospital or an ambulance or something, what do they say? Well, who's your nearest kin, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't know if you're going to make it or not. You don't know if you're going to make it or not. I mean, if you're going into a place of danger, a place where you're going to be threatened and you're going to be peaceful, Jesus, we saw, he got nailed to a cross.
Yeah.
You know, we saw what happened to Dr. King. We saw what happened to many of our brothers and sisters in America, and understand that they were ready. They were ready to lay down their lives for the cause. And then it says, besides, in the very bottom of the card, it says, besides demonstrations, I could also help the movement by, and it says, circle the proper items, run errands, drive my car, fix food for volunteers, clerical work, make phone calls, answer phones, mimeograph, that's like make copies, everybody.
Okay.
Type, that's keyboarding, type, print signs, and distribute pamphlets or leaflets. Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
That's
wow.
totally awesome. And it's going to take pioneers. It's going to take pioneers to be able to do. He's an apostle, a minister, a Christian, a beloved son of the Lord, obviously, that God would touch him in such a way to just shake a nation and bring justice back. And listen, that's his heart. And that's wow. God's heart. What he put on that card, that is God's heart. And so I'm not saying that God was lining up with Dr. King. I'm saying Dr. King was lining up with God.
Right.
And so not to line up with that is us not to line up with God. That is the mindset we got to have.
And it's so important for that kind of mindset for us to have. We've got to be able to focus on, think about it. The people to say today that they're walking with Dr. King, that they're walking with Dr. King, that they could not walk with him. They could not sign that pledge card.
No.
Because he would say, you can't walk with me. That's what he would say. And so I just want to encourage you, go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and get that pledge card. When you hear people talking about this, obviously, apostle that stood up, this man who delivered a prophetic word to our nation saying, listen, the original intent of our founding fathers, I'm only holding you what's on the paper, is for you, every man's created by God with inalienable rights, certain inalienable rights that for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. And that's all of us. And so what God was using Dr. King to go, let's go back to the original intent. Let's go back to the original intent of the Constitution. I'm only holding you what's on the paper, is what he said. I'm only holding you to what's on the paper. I'm only holding you what's on the paper. And it's time for us to go, you know what? First, we need to find out what's on the paper so we're holding people to. Mm. The Word of God, first, God, then country, the Constitution. And we'll find out that that was incorporated in the context of that. And then say, my goodness. This is amazing country. This is amazing, amazing thing. We'll talk more about this. Are you forgetting?
This is a man that had it so in him that when he had the what we know is the famous "I Have a Dream" speech, my understanding was that that wasn't even part of what he was going to share, but it was something that he had been working on and had shared several times, the "I Have a Dream" speech. And Mahalia Jackson, who is a gospel singer, she's deceased now. Beautiful songs that she used to sing, but she used to be with Dr. King on some of these marches. She was in the front row, and she was yelling out, tell him about the dream. Tell him about the dream. And that's when Dr. King started letting it flow.
Yeah, because he was giving a speech that he had written for that moment in time, and then she reminded him about what had been honed out over his life.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden it just kicked in, the vision kicked in. I have a dream. Right. Yeah. I've been to the mountaintop and he began to talk about, and you hear his dream. I was just listening. I remembered just a couple days ago at Apollo Theater. It was very significant because there's a group that was meeting there talking about the dream, about the dream, and in the context of it, they were talking about the dream, his dream.
Right.
And they ended with the dream by saying, we have overcome. Because the song was, we shall overcome.
Right.
And then...
I think it was Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, it was Stevie Wonder. Because Stevie was like 7 or 8 years old when he played the bongos for the very first time. Mm. The congas right there at the Apollo Theater during those stays. And now here he is, of course, older like all of us. And the song then was, we shall overcome. Mm. But it was him that led the song on the Apollo Theater all these years later and led everybody as they look back on Dr. King, and they changed the lyrics to, we have overcome. We have overcome. And it was so beautiful to see all these different leaders in the nation, all these different governmental places, and that it wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
When he first started playing the congas as a young boy on the stage, a young blind man, and began to have his musical talents out at that particular time. And now all these years later, he's singing on the Apollo, we have overcome, and everybody's singing, and it was just so beautiful to see that. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.